Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to go to Ephesians, the second chapter tonight, and start there. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to talk tonight about having your roots in love. And when I talk about it, I'm talking about the love of God for you. We'll just talk about some of that, just a little bit about what that means and how that'll really radically affect your life once you get there and to get your roots where they're supposed to be. Let's go to Ephesians chapter. I want to read this scripture, and then I'm going to look at some other things. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. The Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." God's rich in mercy. You know, some people are rich in money. Amen. Some people have so much money, they don't know how much they have. And they're rich in money. You know what I'm saying? But God's rich in mercy. For His great love, wherewith He loved us. Now, I like the Amplified Bible here. It just says this really powerful. Verse 4 says, "Because of, in order to satisfy, the great and wonderful and intense love with which He loved us." So He loved us so much He had to satisfy us. He just had to do something for us. Praise the Lord. People don't think of God in terms like that, but that's what the Bible says. And here's what He did. Even when we were dead in sins, He's quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Notice He did it when we were dead in sins. You know, God loves, you know, sometimes we don't think of it this way necessarily because we get so grieved with some of the things that's going on in the world today. So many things that obviously are an abomination to the Word and offense to us because we love God. But yet God loves those people. You know, He doesn't love what they're doing, but He loves them. And sometimes we got to remember that because it's easy to get in the wrong spirit with people. And, you know, you want to do like James and John did and with Jesus and say, can we call fire down on them? Yeah. How many ever feel that way? How many got relatives you want to call fire down on? How many? Never mind. All right. But you know what? God loved us even when we were dead in sins. See, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5 talks about the fact that if God loved us and He reconciled us when we were still sinners. And it goes on to say something like this: if He loved us when we were sinners, how much more will He do things for us now that we're children of God? See? Amen? And Jesus even said, show them you love them, talking about the disciples, as you love me. So there's something there. God really loves you. Yes. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep so that they may have life and life more abundantly. Yes. Amen. Yes. See, He doesn't just want us to have life. He wants to have it more abundantly. Yes. Over the top, praise the Lord, to the full, till it overflows. Amen. Yes. So we look at some things, you know, really. Well, you know, listen, He gave His Son. That's a pretty high price. You know, the Bible says we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Yes. How many know that you show the value of something by what you pay for it? I was watching one time, maybe a couple years ago, a year ago, whatever it was, I was watching this car auction thing on TV. You know, I saw it, and I thought I'm going to record that and just watch that, you know. And they're auctioning off these cars, you know, one right after another. And finally they come up with one, and it's a, I don't know whether it's a 74, 70-something Ford Mustang. And that thing sold brand new for $4,000 and some odd. And I bought a new Mustang one time myself for $4,000 and some odd. But that thing... that's what it sold for, $4,700 brand new. And they sold it at this auction for $350,000. Now, I can't believe anybody in their right mind would pay $350,000 for a Ford. But somebody valued it, didn't they? Now, it wasn't worth that much for me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but to somebody it was. Now, my next thought was, why didn't I buy a bunch of them when I was young? Because the $4,000 back then was about like the $350,000 now. That's why. You know what I'm saying? Come on, how many of you are old enough to remember $4,000, right? My mom and dad bought our house when I was young out in the country for $6,500. We lived in there. I lived there for maybe not 20 years. I can't remember, but a lot of years. They probably lived there 20, 25, maybe 30 years. I don't know, in that house. I mean, they did some things to it, obviously, you know, over time, but still, things were different then. Amen. But, you know, you pay something. I've seen stuff like chocolate. Thousands of dollars for a box of chocolate. Not for me. Hershey's good enough. Amen? I've seen, like, you know, steaks and all, you know, several hundred dollars for a steak. I mean, what does it do? Tell time and temperature? I mean, why would you? You know, now see, somebody may value that, and that's okay if you got the money and you value it, that's, I guess. But what you'll pay for what you value, don't you? Amen? You know what? I mean, you know, the electric keeps going up, doesn't it? Does yours? Water keeps going up. Water's worse than electricity, you know? But I keep paying for it because I value it. I don't want to live without it. You don't want me living without it. Right? You don't want me showering at the truck stop every Saturday. You want more than that out of your pastor. Come on. And I appreciate more of that out of you, right? Because I have to be in the same room with you. So even though it goes up, we pay more because it's valuable. Now, there's some things, if they keep going up, I may not buy them because I don't value them. I don't value them. There's certain things that, you know, if lettuce goes up, if asparagus goes up, if broccoli goes up, it doesn't bother me. I'm not going to pay for it. I don't value it. You may value it. Amen. And so there's certain things. How many, God paid a pretty high price for us, didn't he? Said he didn't buy us with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. How many know he paid the highest price could be paid to get you and me? He must value us. I don't know where he sees the value at in me, but evidently he sees it in me and he sees it in you, and he paid the highest price to get. So that ought to let us know what God thinks about us. See, we got to get our roots in that. Someone said this, I heard this many, many years ago. I never forgot it because it really marked my thinking. And this person was talking, and it was a minister, preacher, preaching and saying, you know, when you realize God wants you healed more than you want to be healed, you're on your way. Or when you realize it's God's idea, he wants it, you're on your way. Amen? You know, we ought to know that, just natural. I mean, you know, you'll do just about anything for your kids to keep them well, keep them safe and healthy and protected. You don't break their legs just to show them that you can fix it or set it. You don't put their hand on a hot stove just to show them it's hot. You love them, right? So, you know, you have to understand that God loves us more than anything we could ever think of. Matter of fact, the Bible says our love compared to his is evil. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Compared to God, just talking about in the natural, compared to God, right? Amen. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Think about that. Praise the Lord. He could have sent something else, an angel, I guess. I don't know. But he sent us the Holy Spirit. Amen. So notice this. He says, even when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, God just wanted to do something for us, so he seated us up there with Christ. So that in the age, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I think he's been pretty good to us thus far. How How about you? But he said he's not done. He's going to be good to us through eternity. We have no idea what we're going to see. We have no idea what heaven is like. Amen. I don't know, you know, there's, you know, people say, well, does everybody have a mansion up there? I guess if you want one, you do. We had a guy, he's in heaven now, he used to attend our church, but he was a farmer. And he told me, he said, I want corn and soybeans up next to my mansion. He probably got it if he really meant it. I mean, God's just, he's just good like that. Yeah. He just gives you the desires of your heart as long as they don't cross his word. And if you love him, you know, they're not going to cross his word. I don't want anything God, I don't want to sin. How about you?
Right.
I do sometimes. How about you?
Right.
I don't want to. Matter of fact, I said, God, why can't you just give me my glorified body now and we'd be done with that? And, amen. I'll be okay. Enoch got raptured out early. Give me my glorified body. You know, I'm kind of teasing, but you know what I'm saying. It would be nice if you had flesh, you know, didn't ever act up. Amen. Didn't ever get sick. Didn't ever have any aches or pains. We're redeemed from it. We still got to fight.
Right?
You know, as I'm getting older, I have to fight some things more than I did when I was 24. But it's still a fight of faith. Amen. Still works the same way as it did when it was 24. I just didn't have as many challenges at 24. Amen. I was good looking. My wife says I still am, but you know, love is blind, they say. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Well, anyway, but help me understand, God still, what he's provided, it doesn't have an expiration date. You know, people say, well, I'm just too old to be healed. Well, it's like saying I'm too old to be saved. Like God put an expiration date. Healing's only for people that are under the 50 or 60. No, it's for all of us, isn't it? Amen. So we don't have to, you know, we don't have to let the devil lie to us about things like that. Because he will, you know, he'll throw every excuse at you in the book. You know what I'm saying? He will. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. We're there too. Go to the next chapter, Ephesians chapter 3. Because I want to talk to you a little bit about this tonight. We got some time that we want to spend here in this. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's just cut in the middle. Paul's praying for the church, but let's cut in the middle of this prayer. Verse 17. That Christ, he's praying this for the church, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. One translation, I think Amplified Bible says, he may settle down and make his home in your heart. He feels a home in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So we're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love. Our roots are to be in love. How many know the roots of a tree are more important than the leaves and all of that? The roots are, you know, the roots, we were looking at a tree one time, Phyllis and I, and we were out at this nursery here in town, and they had those things in those big black containers, you know. And they had actually, and it was a pretty smart idea, they had them sitting out there, but what they had done, they had dug holes and set those containers in there so they didn't have to pick up the trees every time the wind blew hard. So it was pretty cool. But anyway, one of those trees, it was a birch tree, and it was pretty good size for a container tree. So we liked that tree, so we, you know, I told the guy, yeah, I like that tree. So we go out there to get it, and that thing, its roots have grown through the container into the ground. And I mean, it's stuck. So he's moving, he's jerking, all of a sudden we hear a pop. And he says to me, he says, well, I don't know about this tree. He said, but I'll let you have it for 40% off since we heard that pop. And I'm thinking, 40% off a dead tree isn't any kind of deal. You know what I'm saying? And so I just said, well, you know, I want that tree, but after hearing that pop, I don't care if it's 100%, I mean, 100% off. Well, if it's 100%, I might take it home, but if you give me 80% off, I don't think I want it. And so sure enough, we waited a few days and we went back out there and looked, and its leaves had wilted. See, it was the tap root. See, roots are important. Roots, man, they go into the ground and get the nutrients for the tree, and roots secure that tree when the storm's blowing.
Yeah.
Our roots need to be in the love that God has for us. Paul said, rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in love, So that when storms come, we know God's on our side. God's on our side. I've had friends go through storms. Some of them bad storms, but they came out on the other side because they had their roots right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know, sometimes we'll have storms that come through here, and I'll look at our trees, and boy, I'm telling you what, if they weren't rooted, they'd be gone. We've had some storms. Yeah. We've had a lot of rain. I mean, they saturate the ground. You know, sometimes, a lot of times when a tree falls over, it's because the root system gave up, see? And so we have to, when our lives tumble, it's because our root system gave up. We lost track of the fact that God, the most important thing in our life is God loves me. Yeah. That little song, Jesus Loves Me, I mean, that's a real important song. Yeah. It's not just for kids, it's really the truth. Jesus loves me. And we're going to, we don't know if we'll have time tonight to look at some scripture, but there's a lot said about the love of God for us. And so Paul said, you got to have your roots in it. That's where your roots got to be. And you know, the roots are everything. That, you know, I've never checked it out, but they say the roots underground of a tree are more than what you see above, you know, and we had a tree out here in our church yard over here. The thing was dying. And so, you know, I like trees, you know. There's got to be a good reason to cut them down. I got four now. I got a good reason to cut down, but my wife's given me five good reasons why not to cut them down. And so they'll stay. And but, you know, because they're just drop limbs all the time, and I'm tired of picking them up every time I go mow. But anyway, we're not getting a fight here at church over this. But they're going to stay. And, you know, I really don't like to cut trees down. But this tree, you know, it's dying. So I call an arborist, you know, come and look at it. He looks at it and he says, well, I don't see anything above ground that's a problem. Everything above ground looks good. He said, the problem's underground. See, with the root system. You know, it may be some kind of fungus or something, but it killed the tree. And then, you know, then Pastor Chuck cut the thing down. Miss Joanne helped. Yes. And so that tree's gone. But the problem was, it was a failure with the roots, see. And this is what happens in our lives when we don't have our roots in the right place, because a lot of people have their roots in what they do. Amen. You know, as important as some things are to our faith, we can get our roots in that and we get in trouble. Amen. So we have to make sure that, first of all, our roots are in the love of God. We're rooted and grounded there, that He loves us, and everything else is just exterior stuff. If that's a good way to say that, I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? Like, just for instance, confession. I believe in confession. The Bible teaches about confession. But if you put your faith in your confession instead of the God that loves you, you may have a harder time receiving. The reason we confess the right things is because we believe them. Right? We don't want our words to open the door for the devil. Right? But we got our roots got to be God loves me. Amen. And so I've had some friends go through some health challenges, minister friends. And you know, just because we've got promises doesn't mean we don't face giants. Promises are to beat the giants. But, you know, you got to keep your roots in the right place. Amen. Look at this. Let's finish reading this out. He says verse 17, let's read that again, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height. In other words, we can know the fullness of what our redemption is. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow, that's some rich stuff, isn't it? But he talked about the love of God passes knowledge. You know what that means? It's too rich for your mind. How many know some things are just too rich for your head? Too rich for your mind. What do you mean? Well, think about this. Just, I don't know if you ever just sat around and thought about God just always been there. Your mind will start smoking after a while. How many know that? There'll be smoke coming out your ears. Some wiring's burning. Why? Because we don't understand that. Because everything we know had a beginning. Somewhere or another, it all had a beginning. So How could God not have a beginning? Well, He's God. Amen. People say, well, I just can't believe that. But, you hear people, I'm an atheist, I can't believe that. But they believe somehow something hit together out in space, and here we all are. You know what I'm saying? We went from, from the goo to the zoo to you. Well, where'd the thing come from to start with? Right? I just think it's a little easier for me to believe in God than to believe that nonsense. How many know that? Right? It's like a story I heard years ago about it happened over in the former Soviet Union, when it was still communist. And in the school classroom, they were making models of the universe. And so one girl made one. It was just outstanding, and put it on the teacher's desk. And she was a Christian, little Christian girl. She believed in God. And so when the teacher came in and he saw that, he said, "Who made this?" And nobody would take responsibility for it. And he said, "Now I'm asking, who made this? This is outstanding. Nobody would take responsibility for it." He said, "Now I demand you tell me who made this. This did not just happen." That little girl stood up and said, "I've been trying to tell you that. This didn't just happen." Right? I mean, some of the things in the universe, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. I mean, the fact that it's still going on. The fact that there's some stars that are so far away. You know, I think I said this Sunday morning. When we see their light, we're seeing light that's over 1 million years old. It took that long to get here because of, the speed of light, the time distance and all. Some of those are so far away, we don't see their light. The light we think we're seeing is like, well, that just came out tonight. No, you're just seeing something that just hit you that started coming your way millions of years ago. Some of them hundreds of thousands of years ago. Some of them millions of years ago. Amen. Yeah. And to think we know everything about this universe, are you kidding me? The Spirit of God does, but we don't. We just live on one little speck here. Amen. You saying you believe there's life out there in other planets? Didn't you ever watch Star Trek? They found all kinds of things out there. One time they found that planet they found? Alice in Wonderland, and they had the Peter the Rabbit was on there, except they were vicious. That was a bad rabbit. He'd kill you. No, I don't believe that and all that. But I do know this. I do know this, that God is magnificent. And He didn't create those planets for no reason at all. He had a plan for them. So I don't know what His plan is, but it must be awfully big. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. And so, anyway, we come back to this. You know, all this here was created by a God who loves us. Amen. We're all, I was talking about this one time where the Bible talks about what is man, or the Son of Man that you visit, the man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you visit him. And it literally means that you look into His affairs. A God who is so big, He bends over and looks in our affairs. Amen. He knows daily what's going on in your life. They asked college students one day, there was a survey they did, do you think God knows about radar? And the majority of them said no. He's the one that made the bat that we got radar from. All right? Listen. He just knows everything everybody's thinking all at once. He said, I don't understand that. Well, too rich for your mind. His love is too rich for your mind. His peace is too rich for your mind. You got to get a revelation of it down here. Amen. It's got to get on the inside of you. Amen. And when you meditate those scriptures about how God's love for you, which there's many of them, it just gets down on the inside of you. Amen. And so, I tell you what, I think I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. There was one scripture I came across in the Bible that I really had a hard time with. Years ago, I came across this scripture. Now, it's not that I didn't believe it. I believe the Bible is inspired by God. All right? But it's like, how could that be true? And it was a scripture in Zephaniah 3:17 that said, the Lord rejoices over us with joy. He joys over us with singing. I thought, you have got to be kidding me. God is rejoicing over me. He's singing about me. Man, he don't have much to sing about. But that's how much he loves us. Yeah, yeah. You're all kind of looking like you doubt that scripture too. But anyway, it's in the Bible. Yeah. He rejoices over us with joy. Zephaniah 3:7. When I read it, I thought, I know it's the Bible, it's got to be true, but how could that be that God thinks that much about it? Well, he loves us. Yeah. He loves us. That's pretty deep, isn't it? Yeah. I said, that's pretty rich, isn't it? When you think about that we sing about him, he sings about us. Yeah. I don't know what he sung is about Pastor Chuck. Oh, Pastor Chuck, he doesn't chew anymore. He goes to church on Sundays. He's my son. I don't know what probably nothing like that, how many know? He's forgot about Pastor Chuck chewing and not going to church because it's been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. Look at Galatians. Come on, are you with me tonight? We got a little silly there, but how many got something out of that? As you go to Galatians 5, but as you're going there, how many know the Apostle John had this revelation? He referred to himself, I don't know how many times it was, five or six times. He referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loves. And we know from his writings, he was the apostle of love. He got a revelation of God's love. Amen? And there's just something there that it clicked with him. Now in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Or faith which works through love. So his love is fertile ground for your faith. Amen. Our faith works through love. Why is that? Because when you know his love, it's easy for you to believe he's going to do good things for you. You know, the ground has a lot to do, you know, with the quality of the crop. Sometimes, you bring in topsoil, or you bring in, what's that stuff called you put in? Compost. Is that what you put in stuff? Potting soil, whatever she puts in. She does that kind of stuff. I just throw it in the clay dirt and hope for the best. But she's got a lot more patience than I do. You know, go plant something, I mean, she's going to break the ground up and put some good stuff in there, and I'm just going to dig a hole and slam it in there. Amen. But she made a believer out of me, man, that you got to have, you know, you get that ground fertilized, you get that soil, because I had some little trees I'd planted behind our fence. You know, I want them to grow up, and then, you know, because I've got trees in my yard that blocks the view of our backyard and all, but the leaves fall off in the fall, and so I'm wanting something green back there I see during the winter months, you know, so I planted some back there on the property line. And those things just weren't doing anything. They just weren't going anywhere. I'm getting ready. I'm thinking about, you know, just mowing them down because they weren't very big. And so I'm going, you know, I'm just like, I've had enough of this. You know, I'm not going to mow around these if they're not going to do any better than this. And she said, well, wait a minute, let me do some things to it. Let me put this stuff on it. Man, when she put that stuff on there, those trees took off. They turned green. They started to grow. And so now I have her do it every now and then. Go put that stuff on there again, you know. And all. And so, you know, because it did something to the soil. Yeah. It did. It enriched it. Amen. Yeah. And God's love does something to your faith. It enriches it. It, when you realize God wants you blessed. Right? He wants you well. He wants you delivered. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at some... Are you getting anything tonight? I'm not boring you, am I? All right, let's look on here. Let's look at some things. I got a little more time left. I want to look at some things. Let me see where we want to go. Well, I think we all know. Let me just stop just for a minute. We all know the scripture. Well, I say we all know it. Maybe a lot of us do. In 1 John, where it says, perfect love casts out fear. See? And it tells us God is love. How many know God is love? Now, you know, love. Let me just say something to you about love. The world is so messed up, love. Have you ever seen the signs, love is love? You ever seen that? Boy, you guys live in a world of your own. There's signs out there that love is love, and it just what it's trying to say is perversion is love. Right? See, it doesn't matter whether... See, not everything that people call love is love. Let me just explain to you about love. Because in the world today, you're a hater if you don't agree with me. Right? You're a hater if you call out something I'm doing as wrong. You're a hater. How many know if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. Yeah. And that's why some churches have compromised the word. Right? They've compromised the word so they don't get persecuted. I'll take the persecution. I'd rather stay on the word side. Amen? Amen. I don't want to be like, you know, Pilate who, you know, he knew what was right, but because of the people, he gave him Barabbas. Yeah. Amen. To appease the people and crucify Jesus. Hey, I'll give you Barabbas. I'm going to keep the word, not crucify it. Right. Some churches are crucifying the word and giving the people Barabbas because that's who, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. It's in your Bible. That's all I can tell you. I don't have time to, but you know, I don't have time to preach on it. But the point is here's the truth about love. Love doesn't always give you what you want or what you think you need. True love gives you what is really best for you. And that may be a rebuke. Every parent should know that true love of your kids isn't giving them everything they want. Because some things aren't good for them. I mean, it's probably not good to let your kids drink 4 bottles of pop a day. It's probably not good for your sanity. That's for the church to do. We give them donuts and send them home with you. That's our job. We don't care. They're going home with you. We're going to keep them happy while they're here. All right, moving right along. A little humor there. All right, come on. A little humor. All right, but help me understand, kids, you know, they do something like that. You know, I mean, when I was a kid, it was a treat to get a bottle of pop. We got one like maybe once a week. You know what I'm saying? You know, it wasn't like our parents bought cases and cases. They was bottles in those days, and they were 6 in the pack, and they'd buy a 6-pack of that, and you might get one on Friday. I used to look forward to it, going to Grandma's house. Sometimes we went to her house. You know, I just wait for Grandma to, I didn't, and now listen, we were also taught this, you didn't go around asking for it. You waited till you were asked. And so we were taught some decorum and some respect. And so, but boy, it was on my mind, man. I'm at Grandma's house on Friday night. It's on my mind. I'm on my mind, man. Because I know what she's got in her refrigerator. She's got Dad's root beer. Somebody speaking in tongues? Got Dad's root beer. And you know, after a while, Grandma would get around to it. You want a root beer? Are you kidding me? I've been waiting all week on this. But you understand some things you don't let your kids have, not because you hate them or you're haters, because you love them. And the same thing's true when God says this is an abomination or this is wrong. Or he's not a hater. He just knows what works, what's best. And he's going to give you what's best, even if it offends you. Even if it offends you. How many of you got to offend your kids sometimes? You got to make them mad sometimes. Amen. Amen. So, you know, we didn't get everything we wanted as a kid. You know, we got some treats, you know, but we didn't get everything we wanted. You know, we didn't get Oreos and I didn't even know what they had in our days. I guess they had Oreos then. But we didn't get all that stuff, you know. We got it occasionally, but we didn't get it all the time. Now I'm an adult, I can have it whenever I want to. Probably not smart, but you know what I'm saying. I still drink soda, you know. We don't buy it by the 6-pack anymore. We buy it by the cases. But you know, what the world says about love and what God says about love is two different things. Isn't that right? See, I don't understand why one side of the aisle in politics can't articulate things better, because they need to articulate better, amen, some things, and just articulate them right. Because there's truth, right? There's truth, there's error. There's truth, there's things that aren't true. Everybody says, I got my truth. No, you don't. There's only the truth. God's Word's truth. But you'll be, I got my truth, you got your truth, we all got our truth. No, you don't. Only God's got truth. You either got His truth or you don't have any truth. There isn't any, you don't have any truth of your own. The truth's not in us. It's in His Word, right? Amen. So we have to watch that we don't let the world define us. You know, like love is like getting along with everybody. Well, we'd love to get along with everybody, but I'm not going to compromise to get along with everybody, right? Well, they'll fire me. Well, let's see, God or job? I'll take God. God will get you another job. It's like a man said one time. He has a Bible college, and he said a student came to him and said, you know. Or somebody was going to be a student, came to him and said, can I talk with you? He said, well, okay. And they said, you know, God's called me to come to the Bible school, but my parents are really against it because, you know, I'd have to quit my job and move here to go to Bible school. But he said, I know God's telling me to. And he said, also, my fiance said she'd break up with me if I went to Bible school. He said, now what should I do? He's like, your question is what? You just said God told you? That ends the discussion with fiance, everything else. If God said it. But people don't live their lives that way. Too many don't. But you should. If God said it. Amen. If God told me don't do that, I don't do that. If God told me do that, I need to do that. Amen. Oh, this is deep, isn't it? But it's still the truth, you know. People in church need to know it. Amen. Amen. They need to know it, right? Amen. Look at this in Romans chapter 8. Because you don't get people, well, I would do that, Pastor. This or that, and this or that. Well, listen, if God really told you to do it, well, then you need to get busy about it. You need to use some wisdom on some things sometimes, but you need to get busy about doing it. Look at this in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? How many know the answer to that is none of that will? Right? So we may be going through, you know, tribulation could mean a lot of things. You may be going through that or distress, but they won't separate you from God's love unless you let it. Right? Unless you start blaming God for it, get offended at God for it. Amen. So, you know, I've seen people go through things in their life, maybe physical attack and all, but I've seen two outcomes. I've seen people get offended at God, get offended at what we preach, get offended at the church, get offended at the pastor, it's destructive in their life. But then you get people that, you know, they stay hooked up with, you know, God. They don't let it separate them from the love of God. Well, they're going to come out with something good. I said, they're going to come out with something good. But, you know, I've seen it both ways. Amen. And, you know, I don't have the answer for everything why people have battles like they do, other than the fact that I know there's a devil. See, one of the things you have to understand, just because you believe God, just because you're a faith person, doesn't mean you're not going to experience attacks. I see the world say, well, they preach healing and they got sick. Well, guess what? You know what I'm saying? I mean, hey, that's the devil. Doesn't mean healing's not true. I've heard people, even Christians, try to say, well, Paul left somebody, I think it was, I forget who it was, Trophimus, he left in Miletus sick. Well, there you go. God doesn't heal. Well, guess what? He left a lot of people in a lot of towns unsaved.
That's right.
Right? We don't know. Listen, we don't know that this guy didn't get healed later on. Maybe at the time when Paul got ready to leave, he was sick and couldn't travel. But we don't know that maybe 3 days later he wasn't healed and raised up. We don't know. Amen. Come on, are you with me? Well, you guys preach on faith and you have to fight off things. Well, we all will. But at least we have something to fight with. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, right? It doesn't say, you know, faith will cause you to be down and defeated and beat up. It says it's victory. It said it's victory. It says it's victory. Oh man, I don't know if I'm boring you tonight or not, but I'm going on. If I don't hear more amens, I'll have to go longer until I'm satisfied. How many understand? Paul said none of that. He didn't say we wouldn't have those things, tribulation and things like that come against us, but he said it won't separate us from the love of God. In other words, just hang on to God. He'll get you through it. See, read on what he said. It's really good what he said. He said, as it is written, for thy sake, verse 36, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're going to come out of our side of victory. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other, listen to this, creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many know what a creature is? It's a created thing. So Paul names all these things, and then he says, there's not any other created thing that's going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, when you talk about created things, how many know that covers everything but God? So there's nothing out there that's going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm persuaded about this. Well, you need to be persuaded about it. You need to have confidence that no matter what I face today or tomorrow, God's going to get me out of that. He's going to see me through the other side. That's faith, isn't it? I mean, having faith in the love of God, that he's got me covered. Amen. And so, you know, well, all right. Praise the Lord. I hope you got something out of this tonight. Can we look at one last scripture? Yes. Let's go here to Hebrews, and we'll close right here. Let's go here, Hebrews chapter 13. It's real important that our roots are in the right thing. Our roots aren't in, you know, how good we've been. Right. Come on, how many admit some days you feel really good? Boy, I had a really good day today. I prayed. I fasted a little bit. Well, at least I left one burrito off. You know, I read my Bible. And all that's good stuff, but except maybe leaving the one burrito off. But anyway, all that's good stuff. But that's not where your roots need to be. That's not a sure foundation. It's not about what we do. It's about what he did. Amen? And this scripture right here talks about that a little bit. Let's read this and we'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9 says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with, the King James says, meat, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. That's really just a way of saying, don't get all caught up in what you do. Don't get caught up in that. Let your heart be established in grace. God's grace, his love, amen? Let it be established in that. Because you may have days, how many have had days, you don't need to raise your hand, but how many have had days you thought, I just didn't feel real spiritual today? Amen. Yeah. You got done, you thought, boy, wow, I blew it a few times today. Maybe you lost your temper. You said things you shouldn't have said. I'm not talking about cussing. But, you know, how many know what I'm talking about? Am I only alone in this? You know, I have days, I did really good today. Praise the Lord. Just can't get my arm back there far enough to pat myself. You know what I'm saying? I've got these short arms. I mean, that's not going to cut it. Whether I did good today or whether I did bad today, which I should do good today. But regardless, God still loves me. Amen. And, you know, when I do blow it, do I miss it? How many know the thing to do is just get it right? I remember these goofy guys coming out. So, you know, just because they're on TV doesn't mean they know everything they're talking about. Have y'all figured that out? How many know there's a lot of people on TV that don't know what they're talking about? Have y'all figured that out? How many know, you hear stuff, well, Pastor, it's on the internet. Wow. How many know some fool can put something on the internet? A lot of them do, right? Facebook, SpewTube, InstaSlam. How many get all kinds of junk on there? You can get good stuff on there, but you can get all kinds of junk on there. And everything everybody says isn't right. It's just amazing. I've got this news app, this thing on my iPad, and it's like the headlines of the news, different stories. And it'll vary, you know, have a variety of topics. And lately it's been about what's good for you and what's not good for you to eat. And, you know, everything. Finally, I just come to the conclusion, food's just bad for you. We just need to quit eating. I don't know why we eat anyway. We're all going to die anyway, so what's the point? How many understand you can't pay attention to all that stuff? I just learned today Jolly Ranchers are bad for you. They're outlawed in the U.K. That's why I don't live there. I mean, when you fed a little rat 35 of those, it probably hurt him. And if you eat enough of them, it probably will hurt you. I'm just a simple guy. I guess you can tell that. I was trying to explain to someone the other day about health and food, and I said, listen, if we had to have oranges to be healthy, then what about the Eskimos? They don't have any orange trees. I thought, well, God made Eskimos, didn't he? Some of you aren't sure. He did. He did. Well, they're up, where are they at? They're up around the North Pole, right? Is there any orange trees up there? Don't you think God's got enough sense to know they can probably live without an orange tree? Oh, pastor's preaching against orange trees now. No, I like oranges. I like orange trees. But I'm just simply saying, a lot of stuff we're fed, you know, get you a dollar and a half and go to, I don't know where you could get coffee for a dollar and a half. Maybe Thornton's, okay. Yeah. Mona goes to all the high class places. They have good coffee, it's all matters, right? You know, amen. So I understand what I'm talking about. You just see all this stuff and all these things and everything. You need to just, you know, you just need to stick with the word. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Do everything. I tell people, like, just be balanced. Just have some common sense about you. Obviously, if you eat bad stuff all the time, you're going to have problems. But don't get in bondage. Like, I can never have a, what's that place over there?
Parlor donuts.
I could never have a parlor donut? No, you could have one. Don't eat them all the time. This is deep preaching, isn't it? Let's just quit. What do you say? I'm just simply saying Christians are so gullible sometimes. People are so gullible that they don't stop and think things through. Amen. We got a God that loves us. Amen. We got a God that's provided for us. And we're gonna let somebody define love for us. No, let the Bible define love for you. We're gonna let somebody do. No, I'm gonna let the Bible define it for me. And if God says it's bad for me, it's bad for me. If He says, you know, it's okay, it's okay. Amen. Doesn't matter what the world says about it. Amen. Stand up. Did you get something tonight? It just matters what He says about it. I don't care what anybody else says about it. I want to know what He says about it, because He's right. Amen. And if He says don't do it, that's because it'll hurt me. All right? Amen. And so we just got to have that much sense about it. Have our faith, our roots in the love of God. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.